ahead and take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we have really slowed down here a little bit lately, but it's because this material is so easy to get to preach on, because it's material that we all struggle with as Christians. It's material that has to do with a man's heart as much as his actions. And tonight, we're going to continue in verse 8. We left off about halfway through verse number 8, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. And if you were here last Wednesday night, you know that we talked about the first three things that Paul writes to the church in Colossae and tells them to put off. Stop it. And that's anger, wrath, and malice. And we had a whole lesson of how that all goes together. And we threw in bitterness and unforgiveness, how it all comes in one big ball together. And now tonight, as we continue this verse and go into verse number 9, he's going to talk about sins of the mouth, things that we say, things that come out of our mouth. But please remember this, always remember this. It doesn't matter if you're over there in the book of James, which is the most scathing remarks you can find in your Bible on the tongue, or you're in the book of Proverbs. Anytime somebody's talking about, rather the Bible speaking about your mouth or your tongue, always remember this. The tongue is just a reflection of your heart. And that's what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you and I get the pressure put on us really good, we can't hide anymore sometimes what's in our heart. And it will come out. And if you and I don't clean our heart out, eventually what's in our heart is going to come out. For an example, when we get down there in verse number 9 where it talks about lying. We lie because we are dishonest in our heart. We are deceptive in our heart. Amen. It talks about filthy communications in your mouth, not being in your mouth, not talking filthy. Do you know why we do that? We do that because we have filthy things in our heart. Amen. Why do you go to work and the fella's cussing and raising sand all through the work day? He's got it in his heart. Why do you go to work and every time you see a bunch of guys gathered around them laughing and snickering, you know you better walk the other way because they're telling dirty jokes and saying things that ain't right? Because they got a dirty heart. So listen, you and I can never ever forget that you can't disassociate the tongue from the heart. The reason I say the things that I say that are not right is because I need God to do something in my heart. And nowadays, it's not just what we say. Whereas used to, you'd pick up a phone. Now you hit a computer screen and a computer pad there, keyboard, or your phone. Now we're able to expose our heart, not with our tongue, but with our thumbs, with our post. I can see it already. Here we go again, talking about Facebook. Well, Facebook is here to stay, and Facebook is going nowhere. And my preaching on Facebook is going nowhere in two different ways. All right, let's get started. Brother Bobby, would you please pray for me and that I can expound this properly, and then we'll go. Yes, I do, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Please, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Now, the first one we want to look at tonight in some type of communication that we are to put off, stop it, don't do it, is blasphemy. Now, you know blasphemy is something spoken against God, but again, it can have something to do with your heart, and certainly it starts there before it's spoken, and some of these references I'm going to quote to you in a moment may lead you to see some of that. But listen, Christians can blaspheme. He blasphemed, and he is giving instruction here to the Colossians that we are not to blaspheme out of our mouth. You say, well, how is that? Well, let me give you a few scriptures here tonight I want you to think about. 1 Timothy 1:20 says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So some folks need to learn not to blaspheme. They're saying something against God. Here's another one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Watch this. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So the name of God can be blasphemed and his doctrine can be blasphemed. Again, the book of Titus chapter 2, verse number 5. This is what is instructed to the women. That they are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So the name of God can be blasphemed by a Christian. The doctrine of God can be blasphemed by a Christian. The word of God can be blasphemed by a Christian. Maybe when they're not doing what they're told to do, people are not doing what they're told to do, maybe they're saying something with their mouth. But listen, we're saying it against God. And we may not say something with our mouth, but how we live, it can show how we feel about God. We don't realize that. So Christians can blaspheme. We can speak things that are against God and things that shouldn't be spoken. And we can do it in ways maybe we're not even familiar with. You wouldn't think that I'm blaspheming the name of God if I'm a servant, if I don't count my master worthy of honor. You're blaspheming the name of God because when you say something against your servant, against your master, and to make it in modern day context, if I'm speaking against my boss and saying stuff behind his back, I'm going against what God told me to do, and I'm saying something, and I'm blaspheming. And what, listen, when I'm going through the book of Exodus again, and what I find in Exodus is that a couple of times, one time Moses says it, and I think God says it to Moses or something like this. That, you know, look, all these people were giving Moses such a hard time. They're mad. They're upset with him. They're fussing. And the thing that keeps showing up is they're not upset with you. Their problem's not with you, Moses. Their problem is with me. And when you and I talk against our master, or when you and I talk against our authority, when you and I talk against out your husband, and you don't do what God's told you to do, you are blaspheming God in that you're not just talking against your husband or your authority or whatever God's put over you. You're talking against God because God is the one that put that authority in your life. Your problem's not with your preacher, your husband, or your boss, or anybody else, or the government. Your problem is with God because you refuse to submit to the authority that he's put over your life, and you even speak things against that authority out of your mouth. I figured I wouldn't get one amen, but I did get one. It's still very true. And by the way, let me just throw this in for good measure. I absolutely 100% don't have trouble with women. I think sometimes that got because that Mother's Day message and people running their mouth and saying things. But yeah, I'm going to address the elephant in the room tonight. As a matter of fact, the people that were the best to me growing up and helped me the most and were there for me and the good people in my life were all women. I never had but one marriage. I didn't have a woman cheat on me. I didn't have a woman do me bad. I haven't had any women in my life to mistreat me. I don't have anything against the women. But the problem is we got so-called Bible believers that every time you bring up in that Bible what it says the position of a woman is, just like some of you sort of doing right now, you don't want to hear it. Well, you're in the wrong church. Just as much as I'm going to tell that man he's to love you like Christ loved the church and he's to lead you and all that stuff, you're to be submissive. Listen to me, men. You run your family. Your wife don't. You decide where you go to church and what you do. Your wife don't. That's exactly right. And I'm going to tell you something else. Some of you women that want your husband. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because it just said the word of God can be blasphemed. I just read it to you. So aren't you interested as a woman of how you can maybe not blaspheme the word of God? All right. You say, I want my husband to stand up and be a leader. I want my husband to stand up and do the right thing. And then every time he tries to be a leader, you run your mouth about his decisions. And you know what your husband gets to thinking? It ain't worth the fight. It ain't worth the struggle. There's going to be hell to pay if I try to run my home and that woman don't like him. So then he can't win. You put him in a no-win situation. Boy, this Bible study took a drastic turn, didn't it? I'm glad we got some men in here that will stand up and say, I run my family, my wife doesn't. You're probably going to get some little frowny, mad faces on there right now. I don't give a rip. The King James Bible's still right. And I don't run my family because I'm more qualified. Darby would be a much better leader of our family in every area. But that's not her role. And every once in a while, Mother's Day, I'm going to preach against evil women. I'm going to preach against bossy women. I'm going to preach against women that don't want to submit to their husband. I'm not talking about taking a whip and mistreating somebody and being, listen, man, my wife submits to me and I'm in charge, but she's got it great. Just ask her. I'm not talking about abusing somebody. But I just thought this would be a good place just to go ahead and let you know that regardless of what woman gets upset about whatever, I'm going to preach the whole counsel of God whenever I get ready to. Amen. And if some of you husbands want to see this church get better and see your family gets better, then you run the thing. You be the spiritual leader. You lead in love. You lead in direction. You lead in taking them to church. You lead in doing right. That wife ought to watch you read your Bible. Wife ought to watch you bow down and pray. Wife ought to watch you do right. Amen. Is that everything you told me to say, Brother Dan? All right. Well, let's move on then. Brother Dan's saying, don't you get me involved in this. I didn't have nothing to do with that. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. The Bible says put it away. Paul says there shouldn't be any filthy communication out of your mouth. What is filthy communication? Well, some of it, you know, filthy talking like cussing. Dirty jokes. Amen. That's filthy communication. But why does a fella cuss and tell dirty jokes? What I just tell you, he got a dirty heart. You don't tell dirty jokes unless you got a dirty heart. Gossip. Murmuring. Whenever we talk about you need to watch what you say and you don't need to talk bad or whatever, we think about cursing and dirty jokes and all that. I'm going to tell you what's just as filthy. And I want to tell you what when you read in the Bible, what God killed the most people for coming out of their mouth was murmuring. I am so glad that God doesn't treat us in the New Testament like he did people in the Old Testament, because we'd have half of the body of Christ immediately eliminated. Running their mouth. The average church foyer ain't nothing but a place of mouth running. Get out here in the halls. Get out here in the foyer. Get up here. I just don't think. And I just don't like them. How many of you heard that here? You know you've heard it here. Some of you ain't won't raise your hand. Told me about some of it. I've heard it. Hey, how many of you's ever pastored a church and you've heard it? There ain't no church you've ever pastored you didn't hear some of that mess. And the brave crusaders for Christ are gutless wonders because they won't come to you and talk to you about it. They'll tell everybody else in the church about what's wrong instead of you. Do you think that's right? If I've got a problem with Brother Dan tonight, and I go and talk to Brother Tim, and I go and talk to Brother Mark, I go and talk to Brother Brian, I talk to everybody else and don't even say nothing to him. You think that's right, do you? That's wicked. That's wicked. That's you running your mouth. That's just as bad as a fella telling dirty jokes. Amen. Fella telling dirty jokes is bothering two or three there listening. When you're murmuring in a church, you're bothering the entire local church. We don't think about it. Angry insults, tattling, just telling tales. I've heard folks say, well, it was true. Well, who cares if it's true or not? How do you know it was true? It doesn't matter if it's true. Do you want me to find out every bad thing about you that's true and then spread it? I sure don't want you to do that about me, and I don't want to do it about you. And then we have some more evil communication. I'm trying so hard to teach this. But this is just a section I can't help but to preach it instead of teach it. And I'm sorry. I know this is Bible study time. But this stuff is so practical, and that's what I major in. It's the practical, and that's what I enjoy preaching. It's hard not to preach this stuff. I promise you, I had no intentions of getting so preachy tonight, but since we're already doing it, I might as well not stop. Tattling. Evil surmising. We've been talking a lot about that in the book of Job, haven't we? Just making up stuff about somebody you don't know. Evil surmising. I'm making up stories, and this is why they're going through that, and this is what's happening to them, and this is this. That's wicked. That's evil, filthy communication coming out of your mouth. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to knock it off. You ought to quit it. It's not right. Let me tell you what my friend Tom Johnson said, and the man that came here some years ago and did the King James thing, my good friend, Brother Tom. He said something years ago that has stuck with me and been a help to me. And I've said it here before. I think it's been a while, but please listen and remember this. He said, if the Lord allows you to find out something about somebody, something bad, something scandalous, something that you know is true, he said, the Lord didn't let you find out about it so you can talk about it and tell it to everybody. The Lord allowed you to find out about it so you can pray for that man. Pray for that woman. Pray for that family. Pray for those people. He didn't allow you to find out about it so you can blow it all up on people's phones and spread it and say, hey, man, you're not going to believe what that preacher over there at that church, what they called him doing. You're just as wicked as he is. You don't believe that, do you? You're just as wicked as the fella that got caught when you enjoy him getting caught and you enjoy spreading your mess about him. All right? You're in the same boat. You got the same dark heart. Who in the world would rejoice in iniquity of anybody? Somebody's got a messed up heart. A good old Baptist that never misses a service. Carries a big old King James Bible. Don't dip, smoke, and chew and date girls that do. But then you get some kind of sadistic satisfaction over somebody that boogered their life up and made a mess and brought hurt the cause of Christ, ruined their testimony. You ought to feel sad for them. You ought to feel very sad for them. You ought to be merciful. You ought not spread that stuff. There's things that I know. There's things that I know about people and preachers that's going to go with me to the grave. When you bury me and put me in that ground, ain't nobody going to know that I know them. It ain't nobody else's business. I've got enough that I'm ashamed of. You got anybody in here besides me got something you ashamed of? You want to start digging in people's closets and trying to find skeletons? Well, we can find some in yours. No. You see, if we would just halfway try to treat people like we want to be treated, wouldn't it make a big difference in our Christian life and in the fellowship of a church? When you find out, I'm going to tell you this. Let's just go ahead and just nail it down. When you find out something about your enemy, and you say, see, yeah, I told you. See what they did. See what they done. Look what's happening to them. and you get joy over that, that they were exposed, that it was found out that what you said about them was right, and they really were a bad person, they really were doing good, bad things on the side, and that thing didn't go like, and you said it wasn't going to go over there, and it wound up not going, and you get some kind of satisfaction and happiness out of it, there's something wrong with you. I know I'm running a rabbit, but I've heard it said it's all right to run a rabbit as long as you get back on the trail. And I'm fixing to here in a moment. But we got to watch that old wicked, stinking heart. That heart that enjoys and you being vindicated, enjoys anything. Do you know why people like to stand in a group and talk about bad about others and put them down and have their friends laughing about it? Because as long as I've got the attention off of me and make it make you look bad, then it makes me look good. But if everybody looked through the eyes of Scripture, you know that guy right there is acting like a fool. And how many times do you know of a fella's been standing there in a crowd of folks, he's running his mouth, talking about people, and he's saying all this stuff, and he's got everybody's attention, and then when he walks off, the three or four that's left talks about him. Ain't that how it goes? Let me tell you something. I've told this to you over and over and over again. I'm going to keep saying it till you get it in your head and get it in your heart. I don't want God to get nobody. I don't. Because when he starts getting people, it's time to get the heavy bishop too. There's something wrong with us when we have vengeance in our heart. And we want to be justified in people's eyes. You shouldn't worry about that. What you need to do as an individual and we need to do as a church is to do right to the best of our ability. And when we don't do right, we confess it and then we ask God to help us do right. And when we do right, don't get prideful about it. God helped you do right. And when we do wrong, own up to it and confess it and keep moving on. And as a local church, we're not put here to compare ourselves with another church, to compete against another church, or anything with another church. This is a local group of believers, and our only purpose here is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. He receives the preeminence. And everything we do here, in teaching, preaching, singing, ministries, everything that we do here, is to give Him all the glory and the praise and the honor, to give it to Him. A local church is not a competition like you have in the business world. I'm going to try to get ahead, and if I sell more than you, I'll be salesman of the year and all that kind of stuff. No, none of that matters. We are put here, and listen, if our goal is that we want to see Jesus Christ get all the glory and the honor that he deserves and him to get the preeminence, then it ought to be okay if somebody down the road with three or four times the people we do and three or four times the money we do and everything else, if they're giving God the glory and giving him the preeminence and trying to do something for him, we may not agree with them on everything doctrinally, but they love the Lord, they're trying to do what's right, we ought to be happy for them. Because the goal isn't for our church to look better. The goal is to make our Savior look better to this lost world. You understand? I just got to a point in my life, I'm sick of teaching facts. I want to teach something that changes you from the inside out. And that's why I can't even hardly teach no more without preaching. I'm tired of just getting up here like a professor and just blah, 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 blah. 50 minutes is gone. I used to sit in those college classes and listen to all that stuff. And the professor, back in those days when I was in college, they still had the overhead thing there, you know, where they put it on the, what they call that thing? An overhead projector. They put that thing on the wall and you're taking all these notes and just, you got these boring professors. Just, oh, I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher and you're just taking notes. And all of a sudden, I'm flying a plane over Germany and it's World War II. And then I'm Rambo out in the jungle. And then I come through there and they've just called on me. And they got all these people gathered up and I walk into town. There's 10,000 people there. They've never heard the gospel. And there's only one person there to preach to them. It's Dennis Knowles. And so after I've killed a bunch of people over in Germany, and then I go preach to a bunch of people. How about that? Kill them and preach to them. And then I wake up 20 minutes later and I miss 20 minutes of notes. You say, where were you? I don't know where I was. I was in another world, flying planes and all kind of stuff. You know what I've seen in the body of Christ with Bible believers? People just get so interested on learning something new, but they never get interested on feeding the new man. So interested on some more facts and some more information, but they don't want to be different. They don't want God to do a work on their heart. And I'm just tired of that, frankly. I'm tired of the hypocrisy in their lives, and I'm tired of it in mine. And I'm not, the goal of learning doctrine is to learn how we can please the Lord Jesus Christ and bring honor and glory to Him. It's not to get a fat head and not to show everybody how many facts we know about the Lord, how much education we have, how smart we are. We are to learn this stuff. We are to rightly divide this stuff so we can see the differences in what He did and see what He wants me to do to please Him right now. Do you understand, church? Do you understand? God wants me to be a good husband, so I preach about being a good husband. God wants you to be a good wife, so I preach about being a good wife. God wants you to be a good child. I preach about you being a good child. It's not enough to just give you all that stuff on the family and in the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians here. We're going to cover it again and all that stuff He says and all that. That's good. I'm not teaching you that stuff about the roles of a wife and the roles of a husband, the roles of a child, the roles of a church member. I'm not teaching you all that stuff so you can go around and say, yeah, I can show you all the verses. Okay, good, good. You can show them all the verses on how you ought to be as a wife or how you ought to be as a husband. Can you live all the verses? I didn't ask you, could you show them all the verses? Can you live some of the verses? You see where we're trying to get to? I'm trying hard to get off of this, but I'm not going to do it until the Lord moves me. Have any of you ever studied church history and seen some of the great movements in the past where God really used people and there were great revivals, the Wells Welch thing and things that happened over here and the Great Awakening and the two movements and Jonathan Edwards and Wesley and Whitfield and all that bunch. You ever study that stuff? Isn't it amazing how many great movements and power of God that went on, and those people were doctrinally a soup sandwich? Luther's still baptizing babies. Wesley believes you can lose your salvation. Wesley believes in entire sanctification, that a man can get saved and stop sinning. Whitfield's a Calvinist. You reckon God might move here, even if we don't have all of our doctrine right, but we have our heart right? We can rightly divide. Can we rightly live? Can we rightly pray? Can we rightly read our Bible? Can we rightly be kind to one another? Love one another? You see what I'm trying to get across to you tonight? I'm sorry. I should have stayed with the scripture. But seeing that you have put off, it says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. We'll cover this and we'll be finished tonight. We are not to lie to one another. Now, that is a deed of the old man. I used to tell my son when he was younger, and I don't know if I could... probably should have phrased a little bit different. That could have been a little bit more edifying. I used to say, son, you're never no more like the devil than when you're lying. Because the book of John says he's the devil's a liar. And he says he's the father of lies. Everything that starts as a lie comes from him. And we as Christians ought not be lying. Amen. The Lord doesn't want us to lie. He doesn't want us to lie. Hey, listen. We can lie not just by what we say. We can lie by what we not say. When we purposely try to project something by not commenting on it in a certain way so we can get out of it and say, well, I didn't lie. Well, maybe you didn't lie, but you purposely led them to believe something that wasn't true. And we ask our kids, We tell them, you don't lie. You don't lie. And then the phone rings and they go, hello. And you can hear the fella talking in the background. You know us old brother so-and-so and you don't want to fool with him. You're going to your youngins. Tell him I'm not here. Tell him I'm not here. And then we lie. Most of us in here, if you want to know the truth, we don't just make up stories, do we? We don't just go around just making up stories like some people do. Most of the time when we as Christians lie, we lie to get out of trouble. And do you know that the right way to get out of trouble is not to lie? Is to confess it and come clean and let God clean you. But God can't clean you as long as you're defending it or lying about it. I've done that. I look back in my life, and when I was studying, getting this lesson ready tonight, I just looked back, and I got to thinking about times I remember. These are just the times I remembered I lied. I can't remember. A lot of lying I did, I don't remember. But the times I remember that I lied, they were almost all. I lied because I was trying to get out of trouble. I've lied to Darby, tried to get out of trouble. No, I didn't eat that little Debbie cake. She said, well, what's this thing here I found in the dryer there, this little Debbie receipt, this is receipt you got at the Family Dollar store or whatever. I said, oh, that, yeah. We lie to get out of trouble, don't we? You know what? God wants us to be honest. And you know why people can't get help from God? Because a man or a woman can't get help until you get honest. And it's always better to get honest privately rather than having to get honest publicly. You ever notice when something happened the world calls an indiscretion, I call it a sin in a marriage. It always goes a long way if whoever's doing it confesses it before they get caught. Because if they get caught, you think they're just confessing it because they got caught. And sometimes they are. It doesn't mean that they don't show true repentance. I mean, they get caught, think about what an idiot they've been, and get right. But I'm just telling you that most of the lying we do is to get out of trouble. It's to make us not suffer consequences. And I understand that all of us are guilty of it. But we ought to be honest people. Our yeas ought to be yeas, our nays ought to be nays. And when we say something, we ought to say what we mean and mean what we say. And there ought not be one person in this world that thinks that we're dishonest. Is there anybody that can legitimately, that you know here tonight, anybody that can legitimately say, that you can say that they think you're dishonest and they have a reason for it? If that is the case, you ought to pray about that. We should not be dishonest Christians. We should not be lying. And for God's sake, we should not be lying about one another. I've never understood that. I'm fixing to shut it down. Don't worry, I'm not going to get to preaching again. But I've never understood that. Just spreading lies on people. I've always wondered why people lied about me like they have in the ministry. There's enough that is true that would be show that I'm not that great of a fellow. Why don't you got to lie? Just making up crazy stuff about me that ain't even nowhere near the truth. But God doesn't want us to do that. You see, again, we end with this tonight. We're talking about filthy communication. We're talking about blaspheming the Lord as a Christian. We're talking about lying. All the stuff we do with our mouth. But the problem isn't our mouth. The problem is that the mouth is only speaking what's in our heart. And our prayer tonight should be, God, cleanse our old dark heart. Amen. Lord God, thank you for this Bible study, whatever it was, preaching tonight. And I pray, dear God, the people took it in the way I meant for it, not to hurt nobody, not to condemn or run anybody down, but to get us thinking about some things and get our hearts right, mine especially. And, oh, God, do a work here tonight and be with our church and guide us and help us to go the right way and do the right thing, and help us to be faithful and stand on the Scriptures tonight. Dismiss us in your grace. We love you, Lord, but we only love you because you first loved us, and we pray this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ.